Wind shouldered its way into the Straits of Magellan from the west, pummeling the cliff walls and scouring the rocks as it passed. Its 13,000-mile journey across open ocean completed, it sought out the ancient glaciers of its birth in anger. As a grimy late morning light ahead signaled the dawning of the brief southern day, it funneled its speed through the narrows of York Road, before sweeping left into the bay of Port Famine. Darting and jinking as it hunted for a target, it picked out the solitary figure of Captain Pringle Stokes where he knelt. It buffeted him and tore at his clothes. It tugged at his thinning forelock in mock deference. It cut through the sodden wool of his coat, turning his skin to goose flesh and congealing the blood in his veins. Stokes shivered. "I am so emaciated," he thought bitterly. "I can feel my shoulder blades almost touching each other." He shifted his weight as another furious gust did its best to hurl him to the ground, his knees jostled together in the cold gravel. His ceremonial scabbard, the badge of his rank, scratched uselessly at the smooth stones. He plastered the damp strands of hair back into place, a tiny, futile act of vanity. But the wind merely caught them again and flung them aside dismissively. "This place," he thought, "this place constitutes the sum total of my achievement. This place is all that I amount to. This place is all that I am." Further down the beach, Bennett and his ratings, all drenched from the waist down, were still struggling to pull the cutter ashore. Ants, going about their irreverent business in the service of an unheeding monarch half a world away. "A curse on His Majesty," thought Stokes, "and a curse on His Majesty's government, in whose service they found themselves marooned in this wretched place." As he inspected them, the bent, sullen figures seemed to be winning their little war. They were probably wondering where he'd gone. Curiosity, he had learned, is one of the few feelings that boredom cannot kill. As soon as Bennett had the boat secured, they would follow him up the shingle. He did not have much time. He had conceived his plan weeks ago, but today he would put it into practice. Why today? Nothing marked out this shoreline as different from any other. It was as wretched as the rest, which was precisely why today was so apt. He had realized it suddenly when he had stepped out of the boat. Today was the day. Stokes lifted his head heavenwards, as if seeking reassurance. As always, an obdurate black wall of rock met his gaze, shrouded in lifeless grey. Somewhere above him, hidden from view, was the snow-capped spur of Point St. Anne, christened by one of his predecessors, Carteret or Byron, perhaps, in an attempt to imbue this place with spiritual familiarity, a sense of the proximity of God. Yet, if ever God had abandoned a place, this was it. The ragged beech forest above the shoreline lay silent. There were no animals to start before a sudden footstep, no birds to soar and swoop, no insects even. Here was a scene of profound desolation. He and the men under his command were alone. The only man with whom naval etiquette would allow him to converse, that damned fool, Captain King, was a couple of miles away, at least, another stupid speck in the wilderness.